One, and we're going to call this meeting to order. If you can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. On to item number three, this is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for March 2nd, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda?
Chairman, there's one staff suggestion.
Yes.
We ask today that we continue number 11, that is the appointment of a planning commissioner.
Okay.
To the March 16th, 2021 meeting at the Story County Courthouse or Zoom. And then I also want to make a note that Lance Gilman was not able to make today's meeting because of a personal emergency, so he's absent today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Is there any public comment? Any other public comment regarding today's agenda?
We'll just. Commissioner, you okay?
Yes. That is Nate, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You have the floor, yes. Nate.
Hey, hey everybody. My name is Nate Hobson. I work as Senator Jackie Rose in Torino District Office as a regional representative. My main portfolio includes rural counties and rural elected officials, healthcare to seniors. So I'm joining your meeting today to introduce myself to those of you I've not met and to say hello to those I have. Senator Rosen joined her meeting with Commissioner McBride and Mr. Dotson and Mr. Osborne about the impact on tourism during the pandemic last fall.
Hey, Nate.
Thank you very much for that. Just letting you know to please use me as a resource for anything you need related to the proposed American Rescue Plan legislation and anything else that I can share with the senator, your concerns or questions, I'll be happy to do that myself. My email address is nate_helton@rosen.senate.gov.
Hey, Nate.
Work cell phone number is 775-560-1671. Thank you. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Nate. Did you have anything about today's agenda?
Commissioners, I just have one little housekeeping thing. On item number 16, there appears to be two cover letters. I just want to bring that to your attention. If we can ignore the one to read Story County and just proceed with the one to read Story County Board of Fire Commissioners.
All right. Noted, Chief Mockart. Thank you. Is there anybody else with public comment regarding the agenda itself? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, did you have any questions or comments regarding the agenda?
No, good to go. Thank you.
All right. Would you entertain a motion then, please?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve today's agenda with the with staff noted adjustment to postpone considering item number 11.
Great. There is a motion. I will second that. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number four. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for January 19th, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for January 19th, 2021? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
All right. Would you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, we have to. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the minutes as submitted.
All right. There is a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number five, today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions regarding today's consent agenda?
No, I
do not. All right. Would you like to entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the today's consent agenda as presented in our agenda.
All right. There is a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 6, which is public comment. This is on items not on the agenda. So if you have a public comment regarding any agenda item, there will be time for that. This is for any public comment regarding items not listed on the agenda. Any public comment?
Hello, it's Alexia Silver.
Good morning, Alexia. You have the floor.
Good morning, Jay. I just wanted to say that on behalf of all of the community, Cindy passed away today, and I wanted to let everybody know. And we're going to start a fund to raise money to help his daughter bury him in Virginia City Cemetery with a headstone.
Thank you very much. That's a wonderful idea. All right, is there any other public comment? Not seeing any. We're going to move on to item number 7, which is for discussion only. Updates and discussions from lobbyists and staff regarding upcoming bills and legislative action affecting Story County.
Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne for the record, County Manager. Our lobbyist, Mary Walker, had to run down to testify on the matter, so she's not able to make this item. We are, as a team, working with about 43 different bills, varying from labor, collective bargaining, economic development, legal and justice, building codes, roads, and a host of other programs. Our elected folks on our team, as well as our department heads, myself, and all of us, and Mary Walker, have all been monitoring these and providing comments. It's pretty early at this point. Not a lot of things have happened on these bills that are being introduced. Two big ones that I've given you continuous updates are on SB 98 and AB 90. SB 98 is the Carson Water Subconservancy Bill. I think I've been pretty clear on what that's about before, but I want to let you know I went through a first hearing in committee. I gave testimony on that with Settlemeyer, as well as Mary Walker, Steve Walker, and some other folks. At this point, it's just a reminder, this is a non-regulatory water and conservation district that we would potentially join as members, and it's going to cause no taxes or any other type of fee increases to people in Story County. As far as Assembly Bill 90, that is the impacts bill, that any development in Story County as well as other places would have to go through a regional planning type of evaluation to possibly determine the impacts of that development on the neighboring jurisdictions. This would impact not only Story County, but other places throughout the state, like Elko County, that has a similar situation where something's occurring in one county that may or may not be affecting the neighbors. The bill does not appear to be getting much traction. Nevertheless, we're taking it seriously. We did submit a fiscal impact statement to that, estimating that this would cost Story County about $4.7 million a year in impacts to the services we would have to provide to try to make this bill work. And it would completely stop development, not only in Story County, but in Northern Nevada. I'm happy to elaborate on any of these as you like. Otherwise, there's other people on our meeting today that are also commenting on bills applicable to their offices, and I would certainly ask if they would like to chime in on anything of their interest. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to chime in at this time? We'll give it just another second here. All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, did you have any questions for Austin?
I don't. I think Seth did a great job of bird dogging these bills. There will be more. There will be many more. So I trust that they'll keep us informed as we go.
Indeed. Thank you. All right, that brings us on to item number 8. This is discussion only. No action or public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We're going to go ahead and start off with the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Antonoro, are you with us today?
I am. Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
The only thing that I have is what you and I had discussed a little bit earlier today, Mr. Chairman. Just to let everybody know, Reno Police Department is doing some training tomorrow out on Five Mile Flat. At the old cabin on the west side of the highway that you can see. But we always get lots of reports of heavy police activity in the area, but it is just a training exercise. No live fire going on, anything like that. So just to let people know, so nobody gets terribly excited about it.
Thank you for that, Sheriff. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions for the Sheriff?
No, they're not looking for any practice actors or anything, are they?
Not that they have let us know.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. All right, moving on to the Fire Department. Chief Longcar.
Commissioner, Chief Longcar for the record. I do have a couple of agenda items later I would like to address, but I'd like to take just a moment and actually thank several people who helped us with the Tai Chi testing that was conducted Saturday. Becky with Dispatch, Joe Curtis with Emergency Management, as well as Tony Witt with HR. They were all big help in getting this testing done. We're moving on to the next phase, which is interviews, and I will keep all of you posted on what our status is and getting another exciting chief for Story Town. Other than that, I'll go ahead and comment later when my agenda items come up. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Longcar. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions?
No, good to go. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to Public Works, Jason Wurzbicki.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioner. Jason Wurzbicki for the record. As far as Public Works itself goes, we have nothing new to report at this time. However, I am going to give a quick report for Mike Northam. He is out in the field right now.
All right.
The tower conduit project is full steam ahead. For the USA Parkway site, so that's not all we have right now, and that's where he's at.
Fair enough. Thank you, Jason. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions?
No, good to go. Thank you.
All right. Communications Dispatch, Becky Parsons, are you here today?
Good morning. Yes, Becky Parsons. The only thing I have going is we are still in the right direction for the communications building. And we're getting our training done to get in there on time with this new April 19th, I think, is our date for our kickoff. So hopefully we'll still be on the same track.
Fantastic. Thank you, Becky. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions?
Okay.
All right. Moving right along, Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman. And commissioners, just a brief one here from me. So you're aware, we have a total of 78 cases, COVID cases, for that whole period, March 1st through today. We only have 5 active at the moment, and we're still with only the 3 passing away from that that's listed in our statistics. We've had 1 new case in the past 14 days, which is what brought us to the 78 number. The total for the Quad County is about 11,253. The active numbers for the Quad County for the 4 counties, though, is actually down from 2 weeks ago by about 400 active cases. So we got a reduction going on there in the county, in the Quad County. So recoveries are also down. I mean, the recoveries are up, which means that that's good. From our standpoint, Story specifically, the rate we have for positivity rate per 100,000 population, which of course we don't have, is at 1.75 cumulative cases per 100,000 based on the statistic. I'm still trying to figure out who that 0.75 person is. That is problematic for me. The next item is, you've been hearing that the governor plans this transition May 1st to the local entities throughout the state. What we've done at this point is we have gathered together a group of about 6 or 7 people, county officials and community business leaders, not just for Virginia City, but also I made contact with some business leaders in the industrial complex to provide us with input and so forth on their thoughts. This group will meet for the first time on this Friday at 2 p.m.
And at this point, like you say, we formed this group. The problem is that the governor is supposedly coming out with some sort of a template or guideline that he'll provide all the locals as to, I guess, what we can do or how we can go about it or whatever. Nobody's really sure what that's supposed to be. It's supposed to come out sometime early this week, which will be very helpful for our meeting on Friday. So we don't know what that means for us yet, but it's kind of a more to follow on that in that respect. Other than that, I'm going to turn it over to Laura here regarding the testing and the vaccination stuff. But we got to switch volumes here, so I'm going to switch mine off.
All right, good morning, Laura Battle for the record.
Morning.
For our March testing, community-based testing, because the numbers have been declining over the past couple of months, for testing, we are decreasing the hours from 3 hours per test site to an hour and a half. They, for March, will be at our satellite office, which is the gray container office on E Street. March 10th from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and March 24th again from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Those will be our community-based testing dates. With regard to vaccinations, if anybody has any questions as the state and the Quad County continue to move through this process, the state of Nevada has a statewide COVID-19 hotline. That phone number is 1-800-401-0946. That's open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And again, anybody can call that with information or anything COVID-related that they want to know about. We continue to work closely under the direction of Carson City Health and Human Services for the Quad County Health Coalition through this vaccination process. Information specifically to the Quad Counties, gethealthycarsoncity.org is a very informative website. Just click on the COVID-19 banner on the top, and you can get all kinds of information on whose turn it is, how to make an appointment, how to make a reservation. Starting February 22nd, local pharmacies throughout the Quad County began vaccinating Nevadans 65 and older. If you go to that same website, gethealthycarsoncity.org, click on the COVID banner, and then click on the COVID-19 vaccination link, that will take you to the links where you can go to the various pharmacy websites and make an appointment if you're 65 and older. One of the things that's important to keep in mind is that each county and the pharmacies are moving through this process at different speed. So some counties are doing different age groups or employment groups, and it just depends on how quickly each jurisdiction or county can move through whatever category they happen to be on. That is the end of my report for that, unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Laura. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions?
No, good to go. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving on to community relations, Honey Tapley, do you have anything for us today?
Good morning, Honey Tapley. For the record, I have nothing new to report today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving on, the VCTC, Denny Dotson, are you here today? There you are.
Chairman, how are you doing today?
Great.
Denny Dotson for the record. And yeah, just a couple quick things. First of all, there was a reschedule for the B&T Railway Commission workshop that was last week. It's actually scheduled for tomorrow at 11 a.m. And I encourage anybody that has any interest or insight on the B&T, the long line, on how it impacts Virginia City to call in and to give your opinion. We're going to be making some tough decisions over the next couple of months as we look to potentially reorganize that entity a little bit. Rocky Mountain Oyster Fry is completely sold out. I'm sure that's not a surprise. We had limited to basically a VIP event where it's pre-registered. We have 400 tickets we sold, and you know, it's a bit different. It's not going to be the congested big event that we would normally have. It's completely within the guidelines of COVID, and we're basically working with the occupancy limits of each private business owner. So it's a unique format, but I think it's a what we're seeing. It's a breath of fresh air compared to what we've dealt with over the last year. And here in Northern Nevada, people are kind of taking notice a little bit, and I look forward to working with Joe and the other community leaders on working ourselves back to some normalcy here in Virginia City. That's all I have.
Thank you, Denny. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions for Denny?
No, good to go. Thank you.
Thanks again, Denny.
Yep.
Moving on to water and sewer. Mike Nevin, are you out there?
Mr. Chairman, it's Austin Osborne. Mike asked me to speak on his behalf.
All right.
I just wanted to give you two updates on the sewer plant down in Gold Hill. That is, at this point, they're filling in, putting in the slab, and putting in conduit. And the building should be up here momentarily. There's some delays on the manufacturing of the parts for the building, but it's moving along pretty much on schedule. The hillside tanks, we're about 5 days that tank needs to soak in water for the material to kind of work its way into the tank. And at that point, then they'll drain that, refill it, and then we'll be actually using that tank and plug it online. And then they will start grading and taking down the old tank next to it and building a second one. That's where they are. That's what he has. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Vice Chairman Mitchell, no questions?
I'm good to go.
All right, moving on to the Comptroller's Office. Comptroller McCain, are you here today?
I am. This is Jennifer McCain for the record. Good morning, Commissioners and Madam Clerk, the County Manager and everyone else. We are deep into budgets right now. I am happy to report that our CIP, which is our Capital Improvement Plan, we have pretty much nailed down for the next fiscal year, and we are moving forward with the next 3 years through 2025, and that is looking good as well. This plan spans all areas of the county and encompasses our capital projects fund, infrastructure fund, our equipment acquisition fund, as well as several other departments that have specific projects. If anyone is interested in reviewing that or has questions on it, please contact me. All department budgets have now been submitted to us, and we are currently this week reviewing all of these budgets with one-on-one meetings with our department heads via Zoom or in person, whichever they feel is more comfortable, and asking questions, making adjustments, and trying to work out all our details. At this place in the budget, the revenues are kind of in a preliminary stage, so I don't have any information to really give you that's concrete on that. It will be forthcoming, definitely, and we are on track to submit this budget for your review for the April 6th meeting. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them or go over anything specifically.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Look forward to seeing that. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions for Jennifer?
No, thank you. Good to go.
All right. Thanks again, Jennifer.
All right. Thank you.
Moving along to the assessor's office. Jana, are you out there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioners, I have absolutely nothing to report for you guys today.
Well, that's good news. Thank you. Moving on to the planning department. Either Kathy or Lindy is with us today.
Good morning. This is Kathy. I don't have anything in addition to what I have on the agenda later. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Recorder's office, Marnie Martinez.
Good morning. I have nothing new to report today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anything from our IT department? James?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Just building on what Jason Wersbeke said about the USA Parkway Tower site project that Mike Norton's been working on. That's beginning this week. I wanted to give my thanks for him on that. That's going to allow us to finally get our VHF radio equipment into that site. That was kind of the last thing holding that project up on the Motorola radio project, so that's a big plus there. And then also updated on the sewer tower that we're putting down in Virginia City. I have a request from the vendor to do a soil test analysis, so I've asked Mike Northen to kind of help me through that process and to get a soil analysis, which will include engineering on the tower footing and just making sure that we're doing it right, because there's a substantial amount of mine tailings around that site, and we want to make sure that it's not going to move on us or anything like that. And that's all I have today. Thank you.
Well, that's great news, James. Thank you for that. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for James?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, James. Glad to see things are moving along. Next up is Human Resources. Toby, are you with us?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Human Resources has nothing to report.
All right. Thank you. On to Community Development. Martin Azevedo.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Martin Azevedo, for the record, Community Development Director and Story County Fire Marshal. I have nothing to report at this time.
All right. Thank you very much. Moving on to Community Chest. Eric Schoen, I believe I saw you earlier.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Eric Schoen, Community Chest. I only have one update. Next month, hopefully, I'll be able to provide an overview of our annual report. But some good news. We're starting to slowly reopen some of our services to that point. Our library, by the end of this month, should be set up more like sort of the way the DMV is currently set up. We'll have curbside pickup. Folks will be able to make appointments if they want to come in and peruse the books. So, you know, we've seen an increase in library card holders over the year by about 40%, which is crazy. But the folks want to start coming in and using the facility. We should have that ability by the end of the month. And that's the end of my report.
That's great news, Eric. Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Eric?
I don't. Thank you. Good.
All right. Thanks again, Eric. the Senior Center, I was told Stacy would not be able to make it today. And to echo what one of our residents, Alexia, said, Stinky has passed. You know, a longtime staple on the boardwalk. So for those that knew of him. I know there's a lot of tourists that probably come back looking for him and Bernadette, the donkey. Unfortunately, they, I don't think Bernadette has plans of getting a new owner, but, you know, again, a great loss to Story County. Moving on to the Justice Court. Do we have Judge Harrington today? Anything exciting on the court side? Not seeing the judge. Move on to the district attorney's office. Either DA Langer or Assistant DA Loomis, do you have anything for us today?
This is Keith Loomis. I have nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I have nothing to report today either.
Oh, we got both of you today. That's fantastic. Thank you. County Manager Austin Osborne.
I don't have anything. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. And as I say, last but not least, our trusty clerk, anything?
Nothing today. Thank you.
All right. That was a smooth process. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you all being here and giving us an update. Now we're going to move on to item number 9, which is board comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any comments?
I don't have anything particular that's not on the agenda, so thank you.
All right. Neither do I. So that's going to bring us to item number 10. This is discussion for possible action. Provide direction to county staff and lobbyists representing Story County regarding potential legislation related to the innovation zones and other properly related matters. County Manager.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, for the record, County Manager. So I have a short kind of summary of what we have here in front of us. And then at the end of that, to seek direction from this board on how I would like to see staff and their lobbyists, look into the matters applicable to the innovation zone filter after the year. So on February 19th, The governor had dropped off a bill draft review of the legislature. At this point, it's in the LCB, which is our Legislative Council Bureau. The drafts that we're looking at this moment have been posted online and otherwise provided, including by Blockchains LLC online. And so we're looking into the elements of what is known at this time outside of LCB. There's really four or five elements to this, and so I'm going to focus on today. Is one, there's a residential element to the bill draft. The residential element includes, these are generalized, a substantial housing development with various types of residences out of Paid of Rock in Story County. The element includes like an urban residential center, and it has several thousand residences and really built in kind of a mixed-use environment, new urban design, things like that. These are elements that are supported by our 2016 master plan, as long as they are at the Painted Rock area. And it's important to note that these would not be allowed within the boundaries of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center pursuant to the development agreement between the parties. Next is there is an urban design or a smart city or both element. And in this case, there is a rendition that has been provided that is a rough draft sketch that shows things like stainless steel and high rises and glass and, you know, lots of very modern types of designs. The overall look of this is pretty neo-traditional, probably even more new urbanism in the planning world. It's very high density, it's walkable, it's a workforce Generation Z type of residential mixed-use commercial environment. And it's really focused on kind of incubating technology and ideas and those sorts of things. We believe that this is also supported by the 2016 master plan for the Painted Rock area. These are things that master plan describes in narrative as well as illustration. There's a technology component to the BDR. Blockchains technology, cryptocurrency, and other such related elements that the city or community they want to create will integrate into every element of what's to be developed out there. We think at this point that those are good things. We know that's the future of our world, and we are certainly a county that's all about creating the future. We would just like to see that this is done within the oversight of the state, and the framework is created by agencies like taxation, as well as state recorders' offices, clerks' offices, and other locals that are involved in these types of technology uses. And then there's a fourth and last element, and this is the separatist governance element. What is proposed so far in the draft is on roughly 50,000 acres as an innovation zone that has the elements above, but then creates a phased separation from Story County to create a separate local government with its own separate elected offices, appointed offices, staff, services, etc. We really, at this point, find that this is not the way to create the core building that I've just described, and it's not necessary. These are the reasons why. The impacts to Story County would be, in essence, these things as we understand so far. This would carve out a element of our part of Story County and create another county, in essence, if you want to create that. We have no say in the governance that occurs in this new area that's carved out, but we're still expected to provide government services to those areas. Police and fire, management, clerk, offices, recorder, everything you can think of, we would be providing to this area in a phased approach over between, an undefined period of time, up to 75 years. This type of environment really it's unpredictable for us in staffing and capital improvements that we would be providing. We could go from 150 staff, that includes our fire, our sheriff, everybody, to maybe 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people, like our neighboring jurisdictions, to provide these services to this area. And the way it's written so far is that it's just at any given time, you could just vanish. They then assume those staff, if they one day say, well, we know we want a recorder, we want our own clerk, we want our own whatever you name the department, yet we've had to build office space and put infrastructure and other things into housing all these people up to that point. So what happens in that case, we don't know. There's future revenues. This is very rough math. But looking at the McCarran area, that includes areas inside and outside of Tri, roughly about $8 million revenue to the county, various uses out there, multiplied at times, just being conservative. You can look at with the other industrial zone land in the county summits in the I-zone area being proposed, could be $48 to $64 million future lost revenues to Story County, as these revenues under the model that's proposed would be pushed into the innovation zone. And yet we're still responsible, you know, an undetermined area that provides services to this area, but even services outside this area, as the rest of the county will also continue to grow in its various parts. And we're going to rely on those revenue areas that we put in our master plan and our zoning partially for those reasons, so we can offset services that are going to be provided to other places and to our people. You know, there's nothing to say in the bill that this innovation zone will stay as it is if proposed over time, especially if you talk about 75 years. Who's to say that they won't purchase land or even all of Lockwood, Mark Twain, Virginia City Highlands, vacant parcels, even Virginia City, and they could potentially take all county? These are unknowns at this point, but it's something we need to look at. There are services to appointed board of county or board of supervisors that we don't know at this point. Do we have to provide the salaries to these people? They're appointed by the governor. They don't have any relation to us. And they don't answer to the taxpayers and to the voters of Story County. So we're concerned. You know, how do we assure that what goes on in this area to this area out there is within, you know, what the interests of the people of Story County have? There's an absentee board of supervisors concern. There's 100 residents at one point mentioned that they would, at the point that they have 100 residents, that they would create their own elected board. But at this point, what are they going to live in? You know, what kind of housing are they going to live in? Is it tents? Is it, you know, temporary trailers? Is it going to be substantial housing? We don't know. What if it doesn't work? You know, what if this thing halfway through just doesn't come to fruition? What is the transition? Who takes back over this? What if the land is taken over? And what if it's a super fund? What if something isn't finished? There are places across the United States, these old malls that were built in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, hundreds of millions of dollars have been put into these properties to try to make them feasible and rejuvenated, and the local jurisdictions are stuck with blighted property and trying to figure out how to deal with these. It's, could something like that happen, you know, in the future if something doesn't work out to fruition? There's no details and plans, you know, for these things. So at this point, this is conceptual. These are concerns, and we just want to bring them forward. And then the next one, I think, is probably more important, is that we don't really believe it's necessary to create a separatist local type of government. Story County is the poster child for this sort of thing. There's no place in Nevada that has fast permitting flexibility, nimbleness that Story County does. We're well known for that all over the United States as well as locally. We are the innovation zone. You can, you know, the evidence is already out there in the brick and mortar. We have the tribe development agreement that was created in 2000 that stands today to protect the businesses, uses, and future of the industrial center. We have the tribe general improvement district that recently has been taken over by the tribe board of ex officio trustees. And that was a seamless transition and is managed properly under the right leadership with no problems. And we have very generous zoning both inside Tri-Center and outside Tri-Center. In fact, most of the updates that we've done to the zoning ordinance since I came on in 2008, and even with the Planning Commission, have been to deregulate, smooth out the zoning, and make it easier to build things, not the other way around. We support new urbanism, neo-traditional designs in the master plan. It's spelled out, it's illustrated, it's written in plain narrative form for anybody to be able to understand it clearly. The tax improvement area for the affluent line. Look at all the moving parts that we were able to navigate to make that happen for these companies out there that are coming to try and that are out there now. SB1 with Switch and our other data centers. That was supported by Story County. We've been never obstructing these things. We've always been able to make them happen. You know, and the biggest thing here is the same treatment what happened to blockchains and the folks out there that want to build these things. It's that they're customers, they're part of our community, and we would do the same thing for them. So we told them how to do it. You know, just follow Title 17, follow Title 16. The rules are right there. We made adjustments to Title 16 within a 30-day period, I believe. It could have been 60 days because there was some little bit of challenge in how water is managed with the planned unit development. The developer came to us and said, you know, this isn't going to really work. This doesn't function properly. And we immediately made the changes with this board. It's an example of how nimble and how quick we are to make things happen, but they have to be done right. So really, as far as Smart City and the rendition of the stainless steel high rise and all of this really modern stuff, we like that. We would love to see that sort of thing out in that area, even to the most extreme level of that design. In the autonomy, there's already elements in the planned unit development process for that. A potential town could be created for some, you know, local autonomy and development in an incorporated town. A development agreement can be looked at. So I have five staff recommendations, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind. I'll just kind of read them verbatim and then I'm open to any discussion you want.
Sounds good, Austin.
All right, our recommendation is just this. It's really to direct staff and lobbyists is to one, support and work with the legislature and afflicted elected officials to explore blockchains, cryptocurrency, and other such currencies. We like that. Continue to support the 2016 master plan as applicable to neo-traditional, new urbanistic design, otherwise as presented by the blockchain smart city renditions and is supported by the master plan. Number three is to oppose separatist governing control and carving up of Story County. And four is to consider government or government outreach to meaningful and authentic, and I mean those words in emphasis, discussions allowing for proper planning, proper oversight, and within existing frameworks of Nevada law or the master plan or local ordinance. And the last would be to provide periodic updates to this board as more is known and potentially to make amendments to the foregoing as things come our way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Austin. I'm going to reach out to the public first. Is there any public comment regarding this item? For those
Mr. Chairman, it's Eileen Gay, Painted Rock Residence.
Yes, you have the floor, Eileen. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I'm to thank the commission for their vigilance in tracking the direction of the Innovation Zone bill that would extract a large portion of Story County here at Painted Rock. I know a lot of us will be watching and want to be involved in the process once there is a development proposed. But on the first portion of the way this looks, the Innovation Bill would, like I said, extract a large portion of Story County here at Painted Rock, which kind of would make us a little bitty skinny strip of Story County next to some other thing. But I look forward to seeing this move forward and having active and focused discussions about concerns once there is actually a bill proposed that can be addressed directly, and looking at a development that comes up next, whether or not it's part of an innovation zone or part of our wonderful Story County. So thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Eileen. We always appreciate input. Just as a reminder, there is a three-minute time limit for public comment. So we, again, will reach out. Is there anybody that has any public comment? If you've called in, star 6 to unmute yourself. You can also raise your hand.
Okay, this is Nicole.
Good morning, Nicole. You have the floor.
Good morning. Just a quick question. Austin, did you say that it's part of our accommodation of what blockchains want us to do, that we would be accepting Bitcoin as currency?
Leave it to Chairman Carmona if you would like me to discuss or answer that at now or another time.
Go for it, Austin.
All right. I kind of a little bit more broadly is to just look at all the legislation that's being proposed in Carson City that has anything to do with those sorts of currencies and technologies, and to learn and listen and work with the elected folks and other state agencies that will manage them, and if they are proven to be the way Nevada's going, to embrace those sorts of things. This is a technologically advanced county, and we go along with that pursuant to the board's direction.
Does that answer your question, Nicole? I'll assume so. Next up, I see the sheriff has his hand raised. Sheriff Antonoro, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a few concerns, and some of it's already been touched on by others, but as far as law enforcement concerns, as this innovation zone creates its own forward momentum, it's kind of concerning. And until and unless they're taking over law enforcement, that would still fall to the sheriff's office to provide those services out there. And you know, there's nothing said as far as if they start creating ordinances that aren't similar to what we have, and now we have to deal with a whole different ball of wax on that, as well as the cost of patrolling and enforcement, and concerned with compensation, just as Nicole just brought up. You know, are we going to have to accept monopoly money for payment, or, you know, is there going to be something in place to actually pay for the services that we'll have to provide once they start going their own way? Ms. Gay just brought out a good point. We already have issues with patrolling the county and providing services because of the geographic split between the north and the south. But what I've seen so far of this, we've got businesses and residents out in Payment Rock, some of the businesses that are already in place in the industrial center have kind of become islands unto themselves, surrounded or mostly surrounded by what they envision as innovation zone, which is going to create even more issues with trying to patrol and everything. And so those are issues as sheriff, and then just as resident of Story County and the great state of Nevada, you know, there's procedures already in place for the creation of new jurisdictions and everything. I mean, it was attempted in Bullfrog County, or creation of Bullfrog County down in the south part of Nevada. Didn't work out so well for them, but at least in that, the people of the counties affected, the people of the state of Nevada had the ability to provide input, because that had to go before the legislature. At least the verbiage I've seen so far in this bill draft basically creates or empowers the Economic Development Board to say yay or nay whether, you know, new governments are created across the state. So that's a concerning thing too, is the legislature abdicating their responsibility and a handpicked board of the governor deciding who gets carved up and how they get carved up. So that's my concerns.
Thank you, Sheriff. Moving on to Jennifer Agnew, has her hand raised.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to repeat a whole lot, just to say that I'm very glad the commission, Austin Osborne, and all the other people that are working on finding out what this all means. I'm glad they're working on it. All the concerns that I've already heard over the last several minutes, ditto. The huge questions, some of it sounds scary. The things I've seen in the drafted bill, it leaves a lot to be desired to even finalize, to answer half the questions that all of us have, that if it's already been addressed. Please stay on top of it like you're doing. Thank you so much. The only part, and maybe I missed it, the only additional concern that I've thought of is in this smart city build-out vision that they've talked about, having somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 to 15,000 new residents out here on this portion of Story County. We already have been complaining about Interstate 80. Granted, in TRI, you've got the south connector now that goes down through the Mark Twain area and hits 50, but the impact of that number of residents, even if you say, oh, they're going to be encapsulated within their own smart city for everything, you know that's not the case. We don't have the infrastructure for the residents we have now. We've fought putting in other residential possibilities of, you know, several hundred to 1,000 or 2,000. To have 10,000 plus residents impacting us is just
an additional concern on top of the couple dozen concerns we've already come up with over innovation zones. So again, I appreciate all of your work, and please stay on top of it as you have been. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Is there any more public comment regarding this item? I'm going to give it just a minute here for folks to either unmute or raise their hand. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have anything to say?
I have quite a bit to say. It's certainly a prerogative of the chair if you want me to go first, or if you'd like to speak first.
Go ahead.
All right. Normally I just kind of speak extemporaneously, but I jotted down a few notes because this is important. It's a big idea, and as everyone knows, Little Story County is not a stranger to big ideas. From our Comstock roots to the impressive growth of the Reno Cobb Industrial Center, for a little place, we got a lot of big things going on. I had hoped that we would have an official bill draft to review by this point, but I really don't feel that we can wait any longer to make our voices heard in regards to the proposal that has the ramifications as significant as this one. As I'm sure you have, Chair, we've had a special last month gathering feedback from constituents, from stakeholders, listening intently to the presentation from Blockchain and their team, and I really thank everyone who sent us their thoughts. It's truly appreciated, as well as Austin and the rest of the staff that's taken time to review and weigh in on this. I particularly appreciate Ms. Gay, who spoke at several of our meetings. Her family is likely to be affected by as much as anyone by this, being a resident out there adjacent to the area that we're talking about. There's one assertion in the draft that I don't believe should go unchallenged. And that is that the draft language of the proposal says that the traditional local government model is inadequate alone to provide the flexibility and resources conducive to making the state a leader in attracting and retaining new forms and types of businesses and fostering economic development, emerging technologies, and innovative industries. And Austin pointed out quite a few specific examples of how I don't believe this is true. I don't find that this assertion has merit, and I don't want to speak for them, but I think that Google, Switch, Tesla, and some of the other innovative tech companies that are in our county would beg to differ as well. Somehow, these emerging technologies and innovative industries have found a way to work within our local government model. And as Austin mentioned, we often take heat for being too flexible or moving too fast. And that, in many ways, is a real innovation that's already happened here. And I would contend that Story County is probably better equipped to work at the speed of innovation than just about anyone else. So with that said, I want to be very clear about something that I feel on this. And that is that I want to see blockchain be successful in their endeavor. They've invested substantially in Story County, and I'd like us to be able to welcome them and facilitate their success as productive contributing members of our community like we have with our other corporate citizens. I don't feel that this proposal allows us to do that. In fact, it appears that it tries to bypass us completely. And I can't help but believe that's misguided. By saddling blockchain with the duties and responsibilities of a local government, I see that as being counterproductive. It would actually lessen their chances of achieving the positive changes in the world that they see, because they would be embarking on a massive task as developers and guiding the development of a smart city and a research park, and then be saddled with the duties of a new twist on local government and the accompanying learning curve. I don't see that necessarily as the most effective way to go. So, I think that I support staff's recommendations almost to a T. I think I would like to, I'd certainly like to hear your thoughts, Mr. Chairman, but I would like to point out specifically there's a bill, SB39, that's been introduced by the state treasurer that would lay the framework for
for state agencies and then local vendors to take to accept stablecoin as for contracts and for that. You know, I think that that's something that I'd like to see the county support. I don't know if that's a separate item or if that appertains to the innovation zone. I find the self-governance piece a non-starter for the reasons that I mentioned and others have mentioned. And I think that we're equipped to provide the support that's needed there in that regard. But I would also like to make sure that we instruct staff, if it's the pleasure of the board, to reach out and really engage in some good faith discussion on both sides about how we can work together, how we can facilitate the ideas, and make sure that they're good for the county. So, you know, and specifically, you know, I think if we can, just off the top of my head, I've been able to think of several different ways, often mentioned some of them, that we would be able to give a level of autonomy or some flexibility to accomplish some of the stated goals of this innovation zone. And so I really feel like that, you know, we can explore and identify ways that we can partner with neighboring jurisdictions, with the governor, to identify more acceptable, effective ways to, as a state, make the state a leader in attracting and retaining new forms and types of businesses and fostering economic development in emerging technologies. So, anyway, those are my thoughts, and I'm happy to hear your thoughts before we consider a motion.
Yep, thank you. You know, I share a lot of the thoughts that were mentioned by you, by Austin, staff, and I think it's important to point out that you know, while we are we've been known for our you know, historical mining background, I think the success of the business park to date speaks volumes about what Story County is capable of handling. You know, I think from everything that I've seen in the stuff floating around on the internet and our meeting with blockchains a few weeks ago, you know, I see that, you know, majority of what they want to do is I think good by the county overall. Again, like you said, there are some issues that I see that are a no-go. And that would be separating itself from Story County, and also by putting residential within the limits of the park. It's been discussed many times that the benefit of the industrial park is that, you know, there is no residential to deal with, which can create delays in approvals for other types of businesses. You know, it's I would like to say it's an all welcoming business park. We obviously encourage any sort of technology. We realize it's the way to go. And again, you know, Google's presence, Tesla's presence, Switch's presence, and I'm sure I've missed a few other companies. My apologies. But, you know, they all believe in Story County. That's why they call this place home. And I think that Story County is very capable of serving the needs of blockchains, you know, going forward. So they are a large landowner in the industrial park, and we'd love to see that area get developed with all these wonderful businesses and other technology, you know, companies. You know, again, a couple hard sells for me are you know, breaking away from Story County. That creates a ton of issues, just the fact that you know, residential within the confines of the park could really be a hindrance for future businesses that intend to come out here, you know, and that's essentially my feelings. I do believe staff is on the right path, and I definitely feel comfortable with the direction that we're going to take. I would have loved to see an official bill draft, which is why I personally have felt holding off until there's something official is the best move. But, you know, time is wasting, and, you know, I guess it's time for us to give some direction to staff. This is probably the closest we had to an official bill draft, so we'll work with this, and you know, I think if things change, then we will come back quickly, assess, and see what's going on, and maybe change a little bit of direction. So that's my take on it. If there is no other comment, I'll maybe go to public comment one more time. I did see some latecomers. So we'll go to public comment one more time, and then off to you, Vice Chairman Mitchell, for a motion. So if you have any public comment regarding this item, now is your chance. Not seeing anything. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion for us?
I would be happy to, and I guess I'd ask Council if it's sufficient for me to refer to the staff recommendations about the outlining, or if we need to repeat those or summarize them in some form.
I think we should at least summarize it.
Okay.
When I compare the minutes, I think it'd be best to have a clear motion as to what it is we want to do.
Would it be all right if I had Austin read them again as part of the motion right now?
Sure.
All right. So I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to adopt the staff recommendations that have been presented, namely, Austin, if you would please.
I'd be happy to, Chairman Mitchell. Austin has been for the record, County Manager. So there are five, and then here's number one, support to work with the legislature and applicable elected officials to explore blockchains, cryptocurrency, stablecoin, and other such currencies. Number two, to continue to support the 2016 master plan as applicable to neo-traditional, new urbanistic, and other such design prepared and shown by the blockchain smart city concepts. Number three, oppose separatist governing control and carving up of Story County. Number four, consider government outreach, our governor outreach, to meaningful and authentic discussions that are allowing for proper planning, proper oversight within the existing frameworks provided by NRS, local code, master plan, etc. And number five, to periodically update on board county commissioners and seek their direction as more information comes and potentially as a final bill arrives.
If it's all right, I'd like to add one more, and that would be to direct staff to engage in meaningful conversation, good faith conversation with blockchain to discuss ways that we can facilitate the funds. That's my motion.
All right, there is a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for everybody who chimed in public comment and staff for all their work thus far. Thank you. All right. That brings us to item number 12, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of file 2021-07, temporary turnaround easement relocation by applicants Story County Public Works and ThyssenKrupp Industrial Solutions, Inc., the applicant requests to relocate an existing temporary turnaround easement from one portion of the parcel to another location on the same parcel. The temporary turnaround easement is located at 75 Germany Circle within the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Story County, Nevada, and has assessor's parcel number APN 005-061-50, formerly a portion of APN 005-061-36. Kathy?
Thank you. A long title for something pretty simple.
Right.
There is an existing temporary turnaround for Germany Circle. Germany Circle out there has not finished construction, but there's a temporary turnaround. The applicant for that property is wanting to construct their building, and the temporary turnaround easement doesn't quite fit with their proposed design. So we've been working with the planning department, public works, the fire department, and the building department to go over what a turnaround area could work, and we've come up with a solution. So that's the proposed easement that's presented to you today. So staff is recommending approval of this new configuration.
Thank you, Kathy. I will reach out to the public. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions regarding this item?
Well, my only question would just be to confirm that there's no negative impact to moving to accommodate the building that this particular property owner wants to do.
No, this actually helps facilitate their design, so.
Great. I have no comments for Kathy. If so inclined, Vice Chairman Mitchell, entertain a motion.
Yeah, absolutely. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, In accordance with the staff recommendation, I, Mr. Mitchell, move to approve the relocation of the existing temporary turnaround easement from one portion of the parcel to another location on the same parcel. The temporary turnaround easement is located at 75 Germany Circle within the Powell Regional Industrial Center, Story County, Nevada, and the assessor's parcel number 18N005-061-50, formerly a portion of 18N005-061-350.
All right, there is a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 13. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of Rule 9 Line Extension Agreement between Story County and Sierra Pacific Power Company, DBA NV Energy, to extend 24 kVA of service to the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Plant for an estimated cost of $20,000. But remaining within the awarded contingency bid amount for said project. Austin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Niven with All Things Water, he is down at the treatment plant right now on an important meeting, so he asked to me to go ahead and give a presentation on his behalf.
Okay.
So really what this does is the Gold Hill Sewer Treatment Plant needs three-phase power in Gold Hill. We did verify goes right about the Devil's Gate. It does not go any further north. There were some questions on that, but we did take a look. So this would be an agreement with NV Energy to extend three-phase power from about that point up to the Gold Hill Sewer Treatment Plant. The overall cost on this would be $48,000, but there's about $20,000 in credits that come back our way. So the overall cost is roughly about $20,000. We are well under contingency for this project. There's about $166,000 for this project. It is extra contingency that was built in for unexpected things, and we're well within that. So this actually is within the budgeted amount for the project. It's not an overage, but it does need to be amended to come back to this board. We did look at potentially modifying plant with one-phase power, but all of the converters and things that you need to do to make the plant do that over time actually would cost more money than doing it correctly the first time up front. So the fiscal note here is just about $20,000. The fiscal note I put on the cover sheet was $48,000. That's not quite right with the reimbursements that we get. Happy to answer any questions.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions for Austin?
No, I don't. Thanks, Austin, for confirming that. It seems like a pretty reasonable cost to bring that three-phase power. It's pretty substantial.
Indeed.
I don't have any issues with it.
I have no questions either. So with that said, Vice Chairman, if you would entertain a motion.
We have to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the enclosed Rule 9 Line Extension Agreement between Story County and Sierra Pacific Power Company, DBA NV Energy, to extend 24 kVA of service in Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Plant for an estimated cost of $20,000, but remain within the awarded contingency bid amount for this project.
All right, there is a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I just thought I should check with counsel on something, and I apologize for not thinking this earlier. My family owns industrial property in Gold Hill, and It has equipment in it that is designed to run on three-phase power. Does it create a sort of conflict for me to approve what in essence is bringing three-phase power closer to my property?
Well, we've got a recent opinion out of the, it's not an opinion, but an order out of the Nevada Supreme Court emphasizing the fact that elected officials are there to represent their clientele. And yes, there may be situations where you have a monetary interest, but it's presumed that you do not have a conflict of interest unless it's pretty significant. So I would say I don't think you have a conflict that would prevent you from voting on it.
Okay, thank you. So with that in mind, I would just like to disclose that, just to be totally transparent about the board, that I am a partial owner. My family owns property that's approximately between a quarter and a half mile further up the hill from this, but I don't believe it would present a conflict for me to vote in the best interest of the future. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm ready to vote.
All right, so you've already stated the motion. I seconded it. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item number 14. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of Memorandum of Understanding between Story County, Nevada and the Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association / Nevada Association of Police Officers, Police and Sheriff's Officers, also known as NAPSO, dated March 2, 2021. Toby, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The purpose of this Memorandum of Understanding is just to adjust the probationary period of new hired employees in the Story County Sheriff's Office from 12 months to 18 months. It's also to clarify the definition of a new hire, as well as changes to the compensation practices and uniform allowance that apply to the new hire positions. We found that 18 months is the standard amount of probationary time for law enforcement, and their union has agreed to this change. And it also should be mentioned that this would only apply to any applicant hired from the time of approval of this item forward. So current employees of the Sheriff's Office
will
continue to serve a 12-month probation.
Thank you, Toby. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Toby?
I don't. Is it appropriate to hear the Sheriff have any input on this?
Sheriff, do you have any input on this?
I do, just for edification. I was the one that came up with the idea initially because of some structural changes here at the Sheriff's Office and with the amount of training they go through with both the police academy and field training purposes. We ended up having a very short window where we actually could see how they perform out in the world. So this basically gives us the year's probation and allows us to get all the training in with that probationary period still intact. So the best way of doing it, easiest way for clarity's purpose, just to extend the probationary period to an 18-month period, which, as Toby indicated, has been agreed to by the union.
Thank you, Sheriff. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Thank you.
No questions? All right, I don't have any questions. With that said, would you like to entertain a motion?
Yeah, based on the recommendation by staff, by Commissioner Mitchell, to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between Story County, Nevada and the Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association, Nevada Association of Police and Sheriff's Officers, NAPSO, dated March 2nd, 2021.
All right, there's a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item number 15. This is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District. And that brings us to item number 16, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the District Fire Chief to enter into an agreement for fuels reduction with NV Energy. Chief Longcar.
Thank you, Mr. Hi, Commissioners. Jeremy Lockhart for our Chief of Record. I just kind of want to give you guys just a summary. I'm sure you've had time to look through the paperwork provided, but this agreement is essentially obtaining grant function or grant funding to help us with local functions within the county. The biggest thing is working with them, the energy and fuels reduction. It helps us provide additional staffing, some heavy equipment, as well as firefighting equipment. And it also helps us cover some of the expenses during red flag warning days or days that fire is just extremely dangerous in the area. We can send staff out, and this is at no cost to the district. So this has been a long working process. We've got it all dialed in with the legal on both sides, Nevada Energy and Story County. We're finally down where we have a finished document. But this would mean additional staffing for the fire district. Five people with equipment would all be covered under Indiana. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you guys may have. It would be a 3-year grant.
Sounds wonderful. Let's jump to public comment. Is there any public comment on this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions or comments?
Yes. I mean, it sounds like a really efficient opportunity for us to gain some resources. I guess my main question I have is, looking forward a bit, what happens at the end of 3 years if something could be extended? What are our contingencies if the grant no longer is good?
And that is an excellent question. And so we really worried about, especially when we're talking about people's livelihood and putting people on for 3 years on the grant, there's that what-if scenario. With this, because of the Senate bill and everything that works with the moving code, for just to give you a brief example of that, is a code where it's wilding urban interface and it fuels reduction. I don't see this funding going away anytime soon, but we have to be cognizant of it's a 3-year grant. We're signing a 3-year contract. So part of what I would like to do with this position, especially the person who's going to be leading this, is have them seek alternative funding to keep us going, provided that fails. But all staff will be advised it's 3 years, out of 3 years, but we're going to try our best to do more.
All right. Chief Lockhart, to volley off of what Vice Chairman Mitchell said, so after 3 years, all that equipment's going to be paid for, correct?
That is correct. We actually work off the price of the equipment, doing the NV Energy fuels. Staff's paid for by NV Energy during that time, so there's no cost to us. We do need to perform the work.
Sure.
So we're built to a standard which we have to get in and perform the work. Once 3 years is up, the equipment is all ours, free and clear, titled to Story County Fire Protection District.
All right. So like Vice Chairman was saying, the only thing we would need to worry about would be the five people that we've hired on, essentially, to do the work. Worst case scenario, we lose the contract, and then they can either try to apply for a job with us or go elsewhere, right?
And unfortunately, that is correct. And we're going to try everything in our power to make sure that we retain them as long as we possibly can.
Well, if you folks do a better job than the guys who are out there now, slashing and cutting, then I'm sure you'll go longer than 3 years. So,
I have already addressed some of those issues, which people will be getting some follow-up from Story County Fire Protection staff here in the next little bit.
Nice. Thank you. All right. So with that said, there was no public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to entertain a motion?
I will. I just have one other question. That is, in a situation like this, does it give us the flexibility to, for example, and I know this is a little off in that field, but let's say, for example, through that fuels reduction, we wanted to look at some sort of program where we stockpile or to provide firewood for limited income, indigent services, those kind of things. Is that something that we would have the flexibility to look into?
Commissioner, absolutely. And I mean, that's good forward thinking that I haven't considered myself. We do take in a lot of fuels, and there's multiple ways of getting rid of the fuel / pile burning, where we just burn it off. We have a collection point down there at Station 72 where people can bring stuff, but it wouldn't be that much additional work for us actually to do something like that and work with places, say the senior center, community chest, and so forth, to provide that. So I think that's something that's we could definitely look at doing and should be really good and just provide more work for the community.
Great, thank you. And again, I'm not suggesting we include that in this part of the conversation. Just want to make sure the door's open for that kind of stuff in the future. Great. Well, then, I'll go ahead with the motion. That's all right.
Yep.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the district fire chief to authorize the district fire chief to enter into an agreement for fuels reduction with NV Energy as outlined in the agenda item.
There is a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Chief Loncar, for doing all you can to get as many of these grants out there to help the community. It's much appreciated. Bringing us to item number 17. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of Resolution 21-603, Revised Pay Resolution for Fire District Staff. Chief Loncar, you are up.
Commissioners, just essentially an accompanying document to that NV Energy contract where we are introducing five new people that are grant-funded, specific fuels reduction people. We just need to compose a resolution to put them in their appropriate grade and staff and establish those positions.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions regarding this item?
No, thank you.
All right. I do not have any questions either. So, Vice Chairman, if you want to entertain a motion.
I'd be happy to. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve Resolution Number 21-603, establishing salaries for non-represented employees to be hired under grant funding for fuel reduction on wildland fire mitigation.
There is a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief Loncar. That brings us to, you got three of them today. Item number 18, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of changes to policy number 64, Battalion Chief's Compensation. Chief Loncar.
Hi, Commissioners. This change is coming to fall in line with our recent change with Story County Firefighters CDA. We are providing them with a physical fitness incentive that I felt was important to also provide to the battalion chiefs who are still considered operational. So their health and well-being is just as important as the line staff. So I wanted to include them in that physical fitness incentive. It's not a giveaway. They have to work for it, which means they got to get out and start running and getting in the gym and set that better example for them and their guys.
Is that it?
And that is, there is one more, actually I'm glad you mentioned, there's one more that is on the bereavement leave to ensuring that once they are hired on, we do provide them with bereavement. We have had an instant care new hire that was not eligible for bereavement and had to do quite a bit moving around to be able to attend his father's funeral. So I want to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Thank you, Chief. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any comments or questions?
Chief Walker, can you just briefly take us through the last piece there as far as the banking compensatory
Actually, I'm glad you're on it too. I was trying to pull up the document here. The banking compensatory time for in lieu of holiday, they're the only ones that currently receive holiday pay. So versus getting the holiday pay, we can allow them to do it as just comp time.
Okay. Very good. No, I don't have any questions, Chair. Thank you.
All right, and nor do I. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you entertain a motion then, please.
Yeah, I'd like Commissioner Mitchell move to approve changes in the Battalion Chief Policy Number 64 to provide for physical fitness incentives to reasonably leave and compensatory time in lieu of overtime for all.
All right. There is a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Chief Longcar.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to item number 19, which is to recess, to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 20, this is for discussion and possible action. Approval of the business license second readings A through F. Is there any public comment regarding these business license readings? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve the second reading of the business license outlined in the agenda.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. All right, this brings us to item number 21. This is the second and final time public comment is available. Does anybody out there have any public comment before we adjourn? All right, not seeing any public comments. It is 11:27, and I will call this meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.